The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You may have heard some headlines this morning about a breakthrough in the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. Well, we are joined now by the Professor of Old Age Psychiatry and Site Director at the Global Brain Health Institute at Trinity College in Dublin, Brian Lawler. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, we had intended, and we will talk to you about, keeping people who are older for longer in their own homes with the help of technology. But first of all, this breakthrough, the drug breakthrough, I'm sure you find it very exciting.
Yes, I think it's a very important study. This is the first time that we've seen a disease-modifying treatment for Alzheimer's disease. And this treatment slows progression. It's about a 25% reduction in progression compared to placebo. But this is the first time that this has been shown, so it's a very, very important study. Important to point out that it slows progression, but doesn't stop the illness. But as I say, this is the first anti-amyloid therapy, an antibody that gets into the brain, binds the amyloid, and seems to lower the amyloid, but also slows progression. So, yes, I think it is a very important study in terms of disease-modifying therapies, and we hope that there will be further developments along these lines in the future.
Now, what it seems to be happening is that it actually, in layman's terms, it actually diminishes the plaque.
Yeah, clears the plaque, it lowers the level of the plaque, and at the same time slows the progression, so there's less deterioration in cognition and function over the period of time that was studied. This was an 18-month study, and that was compared to placebo. So there's about a 27% difference between the drug and the placebo.
Which is very significant in statistical terms. The drug is called lecanemab. Is it a drug that's already available on the market, so therefore it could be deployed quickly?
No, it's not available on the market. The company will apply for a license now to the FDA, and it'll probably go to the EMA here in Europe as well. So we'll have to wait and see whether they get approval.
And let's hope that that approval comes fairly rapidly, and we don't know what the pricing will be and so on and so forth, all of that to be determined. Now, Brian, there was a conference that you were involved with, and it was looking at how modern technology could help to keep people at home more safely and for longer.
Yes. So here at the Global Brain Health Institute, we're involved in a partnership with Respond, which is a very large housing agency in here in Ireland. And we're very interested in the issues of design of our built environment and the impact that that has on brain health and brain development. So one aspect of this is about the potential for digital technology and better design of houses to support brain health in the home, particularly for older people living with dementia.
So what is brain health in this kind of arena? How do you define brain health, and how do you keep brain health?
Yeah, well, brain health is for everybody. Brain health is not the absence of brain diseases like Alzheimer's disease, but brain health is all about protecting your brain, decreasing risk to your brain, getting the most out of your brain, and, building up reserve in your brain so that later in life you're better able to deal with the stress and wear and tear that occurs over a lifetime, over the life course, and better able to kind of counter any pathology that develops. So that's what brain health and brain health across the life course is all about. And there are ways that you can build brain health, by looking at positive lifestyle changes and looking at treating blood pressure and addressing loneliness, isolation. Education, obviously, is very, very important. And this is where housing comes in. So particularly for children, we've got a housing crisis out there at the moment and about 3,500 homeless children. So you can imagine the impact of housing instability has on their brain development and on their brain health over time. So what we're doing with Respond is really trying to develop this concept of housing and brain health and inform, looking at housing and the environment through the lens of brain health is a way to try and build out better brain health across the life course for people at different stages. And this also includes people with dementia living at home alone, because even with dementia, you can have brain health, you can support brain health, and that's where digital technology comes in.
And then there are technologies that where people are living at home, but those who care for them are kind of worried about maybe a fall or something like that. And we've seen even with something like the Apple Watch, it could alert people to the fact that someone has fallen, or alert people to the fact that someone is having a heart attack. That kind of technology could be more widely deployed.
Absolutely. So these types of technologies using smartwatches, smartphones, can be used to detect and monitor. And as we know, during COVID, we saw the power of communication technologies to connect people and to help them participate in life and living, including people with dementia. So these smartphones and smartwatches could also be used to for interventions. With such a shortage of therapists and people who can provide care, that technology provides, this digital technology provides the potential to support and help people stay at home and stay healthy.
And sometimes it might be, forgetting to take your medication because the brain is not quite what it used to be. And, to keep blood pressure down, for example, there might be taking 3 pills a day. The technology, reminder technology on your wrist or on your phone, can provide a simple cue, take your meds.
Yeah, absolutely, and that can work very, very well for people with mild to moderate dementia. I mean, there's just an anecdote of a colleague who was working away from home in Europe, and his father had dementia, and he had a fixed sensor on his fridge, on his father's fridge, and he knew that sent an alarm to his smartphone. So he knew when his father was up and about eating, opening the fridge. So there was a great reassurance to him. So these sorts of simple sort of digital interventions can be very, very powerful in terms of monitoring and supporting people with dementia living at home.
Now, Brian, what has to happen in order for all of this technology to become available? I mean, are we talking about new builds? Can we retrofit existing homes that people actually live in to provide this kind of reassurance?
Yeah, I think you can retrofit, but also you need to think about planning ahead. And I think intergenerational design, I mean, when people, we shouldn't be thinking of people having to move from their home when they become older. We should think about people being able to stay in their homes, and we should design in that way. And we should be thinking about digital installation now, not being forced to retrofit. So I think a lot of this is about thinking ahead and planning ahead about design.
Well, it's good to know that people who are really clued in on this are contributing to the debate and hopefully inform those who are involved in planning and so on, so that, houses, as you say, can be intergenerational and kind of age-proof, if you like, if it goes in at the design stage. Thank you very much for joining us, Brian. That's Brian Lawler, who is Professor of Old Age Psychiatry at the Global Brain Health Institute, where he is Site Director.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.